What country is this car from?
It no longer exists, but take her for a test drive, and you'll agree. Zagreb FM Zlotik je.
Hello and welcome to Bullet H, the Die Hard Simpsons podcast. My name is Terry.
My name is Andy.
Andy, how the heck are you?
Very well, Terry. Very well. And how are you?
I too am well.
Good to hear it.
We're back, baby.
How's this place look, huh?
Great. Now, this is great.
We have this. It's an audio medium, so you can't see what we're talking about. The walls are completely... You got me live.
I couldn't resist.
You son of a bitch. Go on.
And it's my favourite soft beverage.
Soft beverage.
A Lucozade. Now look, cards on the table. If they had had a bottle of citrus clear Lucozade, I would have got it. But then I was like, well, I don't want to buy the regular bottle. But they had a regular can.
Was that everything tastes better out of a can? Was that from that Londis next door? You answer me when I...
It was from the Dunns, mate. Your favourite shop. A double, a twofer I got you it.
Well, I've got a beaker of water here.
That's funny, because you look like Beaker from the Muppets.
Okay, you know what this podcast is over. But it's good to be back in person.
Absolutely.
Despite the insults.
I couldn't be throwing these bombs over over Skype.
But yeah, I've been basically living in here for the last week or so.
Looks right.
Yeah. People have been up there doing, like, it's a conference thing, and they're up there doing, like, a little presentation to the camera, messing up a lot.
Oh, I'm sure you're loving that.
Oh, I do.
As a man who loves hijinks.
I do. And they keep looking to me, sorry, I'm just gonna say that again, like, mad professional. And I'm like, oh, yeah, no problem.
Is it live, though, or is it
no,
live to tape?
We're pre-recording the presentations, and then
questions?
The conference goes out live on the day. So, but like the chairperson will be live, the people will be back.
So they'll be like, okay, here is Johnny 40 Coats with his presentation of risk management.
And then afterwards it's like, I'm available for questions now through Zoom or whatever it is.
Okay. Got it.
But it's been pretty good now. It's been pretty good, I'm not going to lie. But Jesus, some of the people, like, have just been so...
Name and shame them. I want to know what course not to take off these people.
It's not... I can't name and shame, but...
Why not?
Let's just say it's a new office in the... No. I can't.
I got a lawyer on the phone right now.
Please sign this waiver indicating that they are not. Apart from that, that's all. I've been living in here this week. What have you been up to, Terry?
What have I been up to? I have been... Oh, hello.
You like that?
That's all right.
How do you like it, huh? You jerk.
Now, remember, you started this with your
See if the mics can pick this up.
Oh, they're picking that up.
Brilliant.
Yeah. You started this, whatever you used to have your fucking, I've got a Big Star energy drink.
Every time I go to the shop, I look for a Monster one that I haven't tried yet.
But the Legend or the Viking one, remember you used to get that one? The Excalibur or something like a...
I don't know what... There's some... The worst one was the Doctor. Remember, it was just all these big bubble writing, like, yeah. No good.
Well, I don't know, do I? No, since we last been chatting, what have I been doing? Last weekend was... What have I been watching, even? Ooh, I tell you what I've been watching.
Yeah?
Tell you what I watched last night on TV, like a regular person.
Like a regular schlub.
On Sky Atlantic. The Thing was on.
Oh, yeah.
Classic. You ever seen it?
No, I've only seen the parts that I needed to edit into this podcast.
Oh, have I talked about it before? Am I always talking
about Russell?
Yeah.
It did look
That's
good.
The look I'm going for now with this.
If you can't, well, you can't see him, but we should get these cameras rolling the next time.
Yeah.
Terry is looking, if I may say, what's the word? It's complimentary word. He looks great. There.
Okay.
I don't know.
That's not weird, and let's just leave it at that.
He looks great. No, I'm gonna go into more detail. He's got his hair is long, slicked back, he's got sideburns and a beard. It's a beard, but it's...
But the beard goes into the hair.
Yeah, it's all linking up very well. It's very, what's the word? What's your man's name in Dazed and Confused, beard-wise? You know? What was your man? He's like, Mitch Connor. Your man, he's like, I'll take where and I get you, boy. That guy. I seem to remember he had some sort of a thick sideburn action going on.
Yeah, we didn't have a beard, did
we? Whatever. It was meant as a compliment. Yeah. But I can't remember what he looks like. It may have been a huge insult.
Otherwise, like that was. I tell that I got home from football last night, made myself a Super Quinn sausage sandwich, a little midnight snack.
Now I tell you, rumor has it they're not the same as they used to be. The Super Quinn sausages.
Yeah, they're pretty delish.
Okay.
Now we did buy one week. We bought by accident low fat Super Quinn sausages, and we were thinking the same thing. I said, "What's up with these sausages?" It was low fat. Never as good.
What's like low fat essentially means. Like, doesn't necessarily mean less fat, does it? Isn't that a thing?
No, you're thinking like sugar-free and low-fat are different.
Oh, okay.
You know, that kind of way. It's like, it's sugar-free. It's like, could we load it with fat?
Yeah, that's
like,
it. Yeah.
How am I gaining weight?
But fat-free normally means lots of sugar, then.
Yeah, exactly. That's
how they get you.
That's the old switcheroo. Oh, you're thinking of what's good for the goose is good for the gander.
I can't remember how the rest of it goes.
Well, he says, what's a gander? He's like, it's a goose that's had the old switcheroo pulled on it.
Slick snap crackling and pop.
I tell you what, they don't make him like, although I see he's, under.
What did he do?
He wrote a response article to somebody writing about like how New York is dead and it's never coming back. You know, just wait, because there's so many restrictions there. He was like, basically this, it was some comic that wrote it, and then he wrote a response to it. It was like an op-ed piece in the New York Times, and it was like, basically like, he's like, so you live in Miami, like, oh, you know,
Jerry Seinfeld.
He's like, it's not dead, you baby, like basically like his old man yells a cloud stick. But then it was like people were like,
they giving out about it?
Yeah, they were just like, this is a bit like performative or whatever. And then there was some guy who was like, wrote a response in the comments about like, and it was not antagonistic or anything. It was basically like he was writing how he was a cabbie, and it was like, this is what the spirit of New York means to me, blah, blah, blah. Like, everybody's like screenshotting, like, this should have been the article, not Jerry Seinfeld screeching. Right. You know, like, you can hear the tone in his voice when you're reading it.
I'm yelling now.
Let me ask you, before we get into the Simpsons, because I don't really have an awful lot much more to talk about.
To be honest, I don't really either.
Have you been watching, or have you been seeing what's been going on with Harry Maguire?
No, now tell me what this is all about.
This is it, because I was saying this to Faye, and even she actually threw some Simpsons trivia at me, or threw us out, which was, you know. Well,
God, I love you. Yeah.
But he was arrested last weekend in Greece over, I think it was like Saturday he was arrested, or Friday night. He spent the night in cells, went home Saturday, and then they were saying like he assaulted a police officer, attempted bribery,
big fucking goon.
Yeah, okay. But then it was like, they had his trial on Tuesday, found him guilty, and sentenced all on the one day, like Sunday. Yeah. So hold on, you think that's fine?
Yeah, go on, yeah.
Yeah.
So he had the trial, and he wasn't
there for it, like,
yeah.
And they were like, this only happened 3 days ago, we don't have any evidence, can we postpone the trial? They're like, no. They had it on the Tuesday. He was convicted and he got like a 21-month suspended sentence.
Right.
And he has appealed now. And they're like, oh, well, the Greek justice system moves very slowly. Could be 1 or 2 years before we hear this appeal. And I was like,
it could take 8 to 10 weeks.
Yeah. Like, this seems like a bit of a kangaroo court situation going on here, where it's just, you know, hey, we're doing what we want.
Making it up. Is that what kangaroo court means?
Yeah, yeah. And then it was like, and they're like, we can't believe he hasn't apologised for this, and he's like professed his innocence. Now look, I don't know, he was fucking at a party with a bunch of footballers, like, that probably shouldn't be doing anyway.
Yeah.
But then they said like he hasn't apologised, and then later on there it was like, an apology could lead to the charges being dropped. And I was saying this to Faye, and she's like, what, like the Simpsons, like when they go to Australia? Yeah. like we've narrowed it down to a booting. I believe it's a wingtip.
Like, I just think, so there's something shady going on there.
It seems that way. I just think it seems very like,
it did seem out of nowhere. It's like, he's guilty. Like, what did he do?
Knock him up.
All I kept seeing was the headlines. Yeah, just like Harry Maguire.
Yeah, it was like here's the video of Maguire in like the white shirt, and it's like, he, like, you know, wrestling a police officer to the ground. And then it's like, pictures of Maguire in a nightclub early that night. Like, he's wearing like a navy shirt. I was like, oh, that's the same guy, isn't it? Like,
right.
It just seems to be like so. Like
it moves slowly after the fact.
Yeah, but
like,
yeah. But we gotta get him prosecuted.
Why? What, did they get money from it? Did they?
Don't. I honestly don't know. Like, it just seems that, like, and I'm not saying that, like, they say there's no smoke without fire. Yeah. There probably is something, but like, it just seems very, very odd.
Strikes me as the sort. You know what I mean?
It actually doesn't strike me as the sort. He seems too dull.
Yeah.
You know, like, to be like assaulting police officers.
He kind of seems like the right boss in someone else's schemes. You know what I mean? Who else on United would be Paul Pogba? And he's, you know, no, he's not even smart enough to, but like, someone.
He was there with like Rashford. Rashy. He was there at Rashford and Brandon Williams. If anything, I'd say it's Brandon Williams is
Brandon
the one in the tree.
Up to no good. Yeah, of course. What do you think of Messi's situation?
It's a messy situation.
Hey. Beat me to it.
I actually think he'll probably stay at Barcelona. It's probably a bit of a power play to get that president removed.
Right.
You know, but if he goes anywhere, like,
I think City.
Yeah, I think it's City. But then I'm like, this is a club that has just been under a cloud of like financial fair play.
Yeah.
Investigations. And they're like, we'll pay 700 million for this lad, like, or even whatever. If you get him on a free, you're still talking that, like,
yeah. How much in wages? Yeah, like
I don't know. What's his wage? Like $500,000?
Something like that.
A week? Like, yeah, Man United could probably afford it.
They're probably good, no. He's definitely not going to Liverpool. Like, but like, I would almost rather see him go to Juventus than to go to Liverpool. I just want to see him and Ronaldo team up on the same team.
Interesting, yeah.
You know, Juventus have money. It's Italy. It's kind of glamorous.
Juventus don't have a lot of money.
Do they not?
If they got him on a free,
yeah,
he could probably be tempted to go to Italy because they have like certain tax. That's why Ronaldo moved to Italy. It's like you pay 25% tax,
as opposed to what, 40
something? Something like that. Right. Yeah, you know, like, so.
I'd love to see him. I'd love to see him there, just to see.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
You know, they're both in the twilight of their. I don't
know
if he's
33.
Gonna,
like, yeah.
I don't know if he's gonna want to face the Premier League at 33. You know what I mean? But like,
well, just think of it though. Like,
I take him though.
Yeah.
Suarez is
let's leave it there.
I know.
When we get into some Simpsons then,
please.
We're talking Radioactive Man, season 7, episode 2.
Aired, Terry, if I may hit you with some facts, please. If you will allow me that, to hit you with some facts. It aired on September 24th, 1995. Now, I'm going to hit you with some Nielsen ratings, Terry. That's why we're all here.
Mm-hmm.
Got a Nielsen rating of 9.5. So it's actually...
Well, it's steady enough, like...
Yeah, so it was meandering around, I believe, 7 or 8
at
the end of
season
6. Then Who Shot Mr. Burns brought it up to a 12. And it's got a bit of leftovers from that, a 9.
It'll be interesting to see how it holds up next week, if it's like... You know, what happened here?
Yeah.
Lightning hit the teleprompter.
I have to find, like, that's our ratings thing. But I still, feel like I haven't quite got the clip.
What about, didn't we have one, the Channel Ocho?
Yeah, but I don't know what it was about. Maybe it was the quality. The only clip I could find, the quality wasn't great. If anyone out there has any Simpsons related.
Yeah, just let them do their job for you. It's fine.
Listen, I'm trying to be interactive here.
I did like the thumbs up one.
The what?
Seven thumbs up.
Yeah, the audio on that was shocking though.
Was it?
Yeah, I gotta keep a certain level of quality here in the edits, you know.
Yeah, but it's okay.
Anyway, the authors
of your performance review is good.
Our favourite book. And by the way, I put it in H. I keep forgetting, but I'm gonna do that for every
Wikipedia.
It's still there.
Yeah.
The authors of the book, that's what these chances of I Can't Believe It's a Bigger and Better Update Than an Official Simpsons Guide have done, said it was a wonderful pastiche on the Tim Burton Batman films, and added that Milhouse is an obvious candidate for Fallout Boy. I mean, that's nothing.
Yeah.
That comment is nothing, but yet it's still here.
Is that on Wikipedia?
Yeah.
Huh.
You know?
Hmm.
I mean, I guess you really just can add whatever you like. Now, Terry, the production... Written by John...
Production.
By...
by Marshall Talmadge.
A plague on both your hands.
Excuse me.
Written by John Swartzwelder. He was what a one-off character in Friends. He was.
He did like three episodes, and he was just like,
peel the onion,
tasty.
You are bad actors.
this is a terrible play. like every scene he's in, he's like different character.
Completely.
That's theatre, folks.
Written by John Swartzwelder, directed by Susie Dietter.
Oh yeah, she's back.
She's back with a bang. When she read through his first script, she didn't find it very funny because of all the visual gags. The nerve of her to be having popping shots at John Swartzwelder.
It's bloody well, I mean. You come with a king, you best not miss.
Once the animatic was finished, she thought, hey, this really is funny. Yeah, no
I'm
shit.
I'm a stupid broad. No, edit that out. Edit that out.
I'm keeping it there.
Double it. Susie, if you're listening, I'm not almost, a misogynist.
Almost certainly not. Yeah. It's the first episode of The Simpsons to be digitally coloured.
Looked it. Now,
it did look different, didn't it?
It looked different. I thought it was just a Disney Plus, but...
Disney Plus have kind of been doing something with the animation, because it looks very...
I think they're doing like 4K stuff to it, like, yeah, or some sort of restoration, but like, this one was especially, I was like, huh.
It was a bit like, sort of, yeah, just different.
I do remember, though, watching it as a child, or as, you know, over the years, like, say, looking at the animation of Mickey Rooney, I was like, that's a bit different.
Yeah, you know, that it was a bit different. Like, yeah. And this was the only one. It was done by US Animation, who worked on the 138th episode Spectacular. But digital colouring would not be attempted again until season 12's Tennis the Menace. So
that is actually, wow, how do you say that? You don't know what that episode is?
No.
Where they get a tennis court in the back garden.
And I can't remember.
You can't remember? Oh.
Season 12, mate. Not interested.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, but it looks very... If I showed you a picture, you'd be like, wow. Like, I can immediately
you can picture
say,
it. Like,
oh, yeah. And I'm like, yeah, it looks the same. Mad.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Mickey Rooney guest stars as himself. Yes. Nancy Cartwright recalls in her autobiography, My Life as a 10-Year-Old Boy, that Rooney recorded his lines with the other actors. Although he was late for the session, she comments that he was so full of pep and very enthusiastic about
he seemed so enthusiastic.
I know,
so great.
I loved him in this.
I love all the old guys they get, yeah, like just the breath of fresh air.
Ernest
like,
Borgnine, yeah, and all these guys,
hi,
like,
kids, ha ha ha.
It also obviously stars Phil Hartman, who is in it. He's only got a line or two in it, I think.
Yeah, he plays Hutz in it, like,
yeah, like, yeah, that
Milhouse baby,
yeah.
But like, we got a couple more seasons of Phil Hartman, thankfully. I think it's season 9.
Yeah.
His last episode is the one with the lizards, I think.
Oh, really?
I think that's his last one, where it's like Troy McClure, you know, the DNA thing.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yes, yeah. I think so.
It's one of the videos they watch, and it's like, how come fat people have fat children and, you know,
yeah,
Chinese
it's
people.
DNA. Yeah.
What does DNA stand for? It's like, Phil, we miss you.
We absolutely do. That's all I got, to be honest.
I don't have any trivia.
Okay, well, look.
Let's get into it.
Terry, I've actually taken notes.
Ooh.
For this one. This is the first time ever in the history of Put It in H that I've taken notes.
I had notes way back when. I was looking at my old notepads for like Camp Krusty.
Oh yeah.
And I was like, I remember when we used to do things. Yeah.
Take plenty of notes for What's So Great About It, don't get me wrong.
That's the money maker.
Literally. Yeah. I did, one of the first things that I sort of noticed was that I loved every time the visual gags with the hats.
Yes.
You know, where it's like, and the hats go right up, and like, they did it a few times. Yeah, like, every time I chuckled. Like,
but like, what I was chuckling at was like, it's what they do so well, the attention to detail they put with signs and, you know, like the magazines.
Know the one you mean.
Like, what was it called? It's like, it had a bit like a big strong man on the front. It's like, where I was like, just these like stupid designs that they're putting on. It's like,
yeah, like it's those little touches.
And
like,
I was like they're like, oh, these all suck. And I'm like, yeah, they do suck. Like, who would want to read a comic book about a guy with a beard? He's like a construction worker or something like that, but it was just like a giant bicep on it.
I like the fact that they're sort of disputing the difference between like radioactive man and radiation dude.
But I like how Milhouse is like, he's the only kind of one that's any decent.
Yeah.
And Bart's like, oh, come on, like, it's just a copy.
Up and let's go. Yeah. And I love, like, how Bart loves to, like, with Atom spelled A-T-O-M in a delicious
I know, pun. He's just so excited about it, like. But I like how, like, Milhouse is like, explain, like, he's kind of, like, folding his arms and he's like,
go on.
Like, he wants to know what the difference is, but he's also kind of confrontational. Challenging him. Like, yeah. And then he's like, oh. And then I did like the when comic book guy is like, hold on, let me go find out who it is. Like, need no pick.
Or him. And like, my one was, why is that guy already under the desk?
Yeah.
You know, who sticks the little microphone in it.
And then when we get, like, first of all, the great gag with Prince being in the middle of the computer. Yeah. Like, when you get to the executives.
Straight away, their voices are my so God. Great.
I mean, like, don't mean to be crude, but like.
Go on.
I went from 6 to midnight as soon as I heard, I don't see why Rainier Wolfhard should be a star. I think we should bring back Dirk Richter. Cancel one scene.
The original
Radioactive Man.
I don't see why Rainier Wolfcastle should be the star. I think we should bring back Dirk Richter. Kids will want to see the original Radioactive Man. I keep telling you, he's 73 years old and he's dead.
Just the voice, I'm like, yes, the old Jewish executive, yes,
and
love it.
And they're just, I mean, everyone in that room is great, but those two execs, one, I mean, just your man's voice.
Which one? You want to stay my guy?
Yeah, your guy. But even the other one, he's like, I want to see goggles, people. Like, you know, like, just the two of them were so different, but they were just so great.
I keep telling you, he's 73 years old and he's dead. Besides, you want to stay away from far away from the campy 70s. And when you get into this, it's just,
don't be afraid to use your nails, boys.
Now, who do you think that is?
Like the voice?
Yeah, like
one of the main cast. Like,
it's like, it says it in the script here, and I was delighted to see it in the script. It's supposed to be, there's this guy Paul Lind. He was like on Hollywood Squares in like the, I don't know,
70s or something.
I think in the 70s, yeah. And then, like, because Gilbert Gottfried is like, he talks about these people on his podcast all the time. And he always goes on about Paul Lind. He does a great impression. It's like, when you get bombed on Celebrity Squares or Hollywood Squares, and then he'd be like, the Jews are the fucking reason I don't have a career in Hollywood. Like, when you hear Gilbert Gottfried do his voice, and then I saw him, I was like, that's him. And then in the script I was reading, it's like, a la Paul Lind.
Brilliant.
Got him, scouts.
And all the, like, snuh as the sound effect. Yeah.
Zach.
And then the fact that they're all just dancing at the end, that was great.
The music, I was like, when it kicked in the lap, I was like, I was listening to this on Spotify.
Proper 60s, like. And then just when the execs are like, it's like, wow, look at that. It's just film Springfield. Like, they don't need it.
But I love it's like, we need a city that has a nuclear reactor and a gorge and guarantees the full cooperation of city officials. Like, yes, of course.
Look at that ad.
You forget that, like, they have a gorge.
Yeah. You know? Like, hasn't shown up since, like, one of the early seasons. I think the bit that I always think about, and I feel like I use it a lot of, like, when they're hosting the auditions and Skinner's on the intercom and he's like,
Radio Man.
Radio Man. It's like, it's Radioactive Man, stupid. Strange, I shouldn't be able to hear that.
I love it. You get the gag again with the hats.
The hats, yeah.
He's like, and the air conditioning will be fixed. when they arrive in the town. Sorry, do you
want to? Can I say as well, just the news, spinning newspaper where the heading is Who Will Be Fallout Boy and the subheading is Who Will Be Fallout Boy? It's just the exact same. Like, I love it.
I thought you were going to say, you know, man gets injured by spinning newspaper. Do you want to go by your notes or we go with the script?
I tell you what,
Have you got what else we got? Throw me some more note here and
I just have a note of Mo killed that kid. Straight up, like, smashed his face off the ground. Like, he killed him then and there.
Which one were you, the ugly one?
We're the ugly one, right?
No, me could do the exhaust pipe gag that better than me.
Of course, it was hard to come up with reasons, but we had good writers.
I mean, William Faulkner could write an exhaust pipe that would really make you think.
He just full on kills him. Like, he just bashes his head into the ground.
I love it, though. They do it so well with just like the music.
Oh no, my favorite Aggie!
Oh my God! He's killed the original Alfalfa!
Yeah, luckily Alfalfa was an orphan owned by the studio.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, that makes sense.
He's just, the fact that he hasn't changed, he's just Mo. But as
and then
a kid.
He's like, luckily Alfalfa was an orphan owned by the studio. Like, yeah, luckily.
Luckily,
like,
you killed someone. I also liked when they were doing the auditions for Fall Out Boy. And like, just the execs were like, He sees Martin just sitting there. He's like, "Who is that? He's perfect. He's not in any form." He's like, "Oh, forget him then. It wouldn't be fair to the other."
I always thought that was a bit sinister or something. Yeah. It's like when they filled out their applications and like, what are they filling out? Like, are they signing away their rights to something? Yeah. Like, you know,
ticking a box there.
Or like then, Nelson, a great bit.
Where Nelson, watch out, next.
Ha ha. Oh, that hurts. I wonder no one came to my birthday party.
And so cruel, by the way, that, I mean, first of all, that is sad, but like, when Bart is like, watch out, radioactive man. He's like, fantastic again.
Brilliant reading.
You can see Bart's getting so excited every time he's asked to read it again, and like, big smile on his face, just like, you're our new, it's like so cruel. Yeah, you're our new follow boy. That's what I'd be saying to you if you weren't an inch too short.
Next. And it's like, great, like, that's your ad break there, you know. I did
so
like
cruel.
When Bart was practicing and it was like, look behind you, radioactive man. The sun is exploding again.
Yeah.
And then Homer's like, who are you talking to? Marge, you for the man in this house?
Radioactive man.
I mean, Homer doesn't have a load to do in this episode. But again, like, it's still good.
It's that assassin role.
Yeah. Still like, and it's not even like he doesn't even have enough to be the assassin. Yeah. He's just like, he's batting 100 or 1,000 or whatever, but it's like you're up three times, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. I did also like the fact when, you know, when they start, when like, okay, so Milhouse gets it and he doesn't necessarily want it. I love the fact that his parents immediately have the money spent.
Everything, like,
you know, it's typical of Milhouse's parents as well. Like, that's exactly how his dad got into the trouble been in.
Like I say, Hutt's like, Milhouse, baby, Lionel Hutt, your new agent, bodyguard, unauthorized biographer, and drug dealer, keeper away.
And then, like, they start filming it in scenes in the Simpsons house, and I love where he's like, we'll run a cable through here. You know, just smashes it.
Careful now. And then you get the great scene with Homer and the director and the producer, where it was like, didn't you direct A National Discretion? And he's like, why, yes I did. Like, I never walk out of a movie but pee. Like, he seems so excited, and then like, he's still so excited about how bad it was. Yeah. Like,
he's so enthusiastic about how much he hated it.
Like, I got an idea, Mr. Simpson, why don't you get something to eat from our food truck? Great gag. He's like, Mr. Simpson.
And he sort of puts his hand in the dust and it dissipates.
Like, if Homer was there, you'd be putting it in his face or something. Like,
I love, and ever since, I remember seeing this as a kid, so what would it have been, 95, so I would have been 10.
Is it 95? Yeah. Jesus.
And I remember every time, because anyway, that's like a common gag in cartoons, where they disappear and the dust remains.
Looney Tunes.
But they never have it so that it's their actual outline.
Yeah.
And it always left me when I seen it in other cartoons, like, I want it to be that their shape dust.
It's his eyeballs are still there, like, even like, you know.
I love that.
It's so good. And then you kind of get Krusty's little appearance.
I love the fact that Krusty starts off with, yeah, God, I got, you know, and then like by the end, he's like, I want to talk about this coffee. Like, he's straight away gotten all big shot.
But I love how he's like, well, I'm sorry, Crispy the Clown has been cast, but I will hire you for Angry the Clown, Silly Sailor, and Dr. Clownius.
I won't let you down. It's like, well, I might let you down on Silly Sailor.
Look at my range.
And how many clowns are in this?
Three clowns.
It's already
the clown,
too much.
Angry the Clown, Dr. Clownius.
I want to see Angry the Clown.
Yeah.
I also like the fact that, like, as much as I love the Hollywood exec, like, when they had Milhouse on getting the radiation on him, where he's trapped under the thing, and eventually, like, he's like, this isn't real X-rays, is it? He's like, good question, we'll check into that. Okay, X-ray on full power. And the fact that he makes a point to say full power.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I picked up on yesterday. That I never realized. I was like, okay, full power.
Skeleton, like.
Like, the bit that was in the ads was always like, Milhouse, I'm glad that one of us got the part. And then, like, the head explodes. He's like, I wished him well. Yeah. And I was like, that was the ad. It's like,
oh, yeah.
On, like, this Sunday on The Simpsons. And I was like, what?
Oh, shit, he's dead.
Yeah. Yeah. He's dead. Dummy wasn't supposed to explode yet.
And that happens a few times. They go so well a few times, the episode where it's like, hey, I guess it's good to be back, Milhouse. Remember? It's like, I'm trying to get my citizen. Like, wherever you think it's Milhouse, it's not. Like.
Yeah. What was your. Oh, yeah. When he gets hit, that's what he's like. There's the real Milhouse, and it's like just gets lame, like,
and then like
I'm just Milhouse when he gets hurt.
And like one of the, I suppose, like Krusty, first of all, like I just had a note of him, just I don't know why I cracked up of him in the glasses.
The
I don't know which
face.
One he's supposed to be.
He's Dr. Clownius, I think, at that point. Like,
and straight away he's like, I want to talk to the producer.
Where's the producer? I want to talk about my coffee.
He's already gotten like Big Shot, like, you know.
The Teamsters, Homer.
Yeah, you know what? I didn't really care for that one this time around. That one, and I know that's a very popular.
I just
joke.
Love. You know what it is about? It's not even that, like, you say him in that weekend. It's none of that, but it's just like the whole.
Like they're trying to outdo each other for relaxation.
Yeah.
You guys working a movie?
You're saying we're not working.
Oh, I always wanted to be a Teamster. So lazy and surly. You mind if I relax next to you?
I love, you know,
is this the one where it was like cows don't look like cows.
So the like horses. First of all, I love the voices that they give in the Teamsters as well.
Yeah, vintage Teamsters.
And it's like Martin, like, why don't you just use real cows? And then Ralph was like, what do you do if you want to pay something that looks like a horse? Like their voice, and then the kid's voice in contrast. Usually we just take a
bunch of cats together.
And then the bit that I don't know why, like, I obviously love this voice. My favourite voice ever in The Simpsons, this and the mortgage guy share the very similar voice. When he's on the phone, he's like, oh, here he comes. What is it now, Quimby?
And they're just trying to gouge, like,
I'm not wearing puffy pants.
I mean, tags on not wearing puffy pants.
Like, I'm sorry. Like, it just,
I'm sorry, I thought they could have done without, you know what I mean? Because it sort of seemed like
he's telling them that, like, look, we're gouging it, and we're both in on it, I guess. Like,
but again, one of the bits that I really liked was, it's kind of a bit later on, but when Bart's looking for Milhouse, when Milhouse runs away, and he goes to the treehouse and he looks in all four corners and then, just keeps looking, and in the sixth corner he's there.
Great,
Milhouse.
Like, basically then at this point in it, Milhouse just gets sick and tired of being in there. Like, I love anything really that is like inside baseball when it comes to movie making. Like, I love all that, like, movies about movies, or, you know, TV shows about movies, stuff like that. Like, so, like, when
you love the movie industry,
I love, like, getting the peek behind the curtain almost. The Simpsons doing this, like, I don't think they've ever done it better.
Yeah,
like, they've gone back to it, I'd say, in a few times in the future seasons. But, like, even like,
this was fresh.
And it was like, He's like, I've said Jiminy Jilligers so many times, my words have lost all meaning. And like the man just bursts in like, we've got to do the Jiminy Jilligers scene again, Milhouse.
We already did it. I love his face. Like, it took 7 hours, but we did it.
Yes, but we've got to do it again. From different angles, again and again, and again and again and again.
I use that all the time. Yeah. We do, actually. Yeah. Like, and again and again, and again and again.
And then,
so not how movies are made. Yeah. Like, I mean, I know it takes ages, but like the idea that they've got one camera running at a time.
I love your man. He's like, everyone in town has been gouging us silly, but it's worth it. It's all up there on the screen. And the clip is so bad. It's like, I can't believe Silly Sailor beat us both up and imprisoned us in his floating aqua world. It's like, Jiminy Jilligers. Like,
need to use profanities for that boy.
We didn't talk about like Wolfcastle being cast.
Up and at them.
Yeah, up and at them.
That's a line that my dad actually was, you know, you always remember the ones that your parents laugh at. That was one that my dad always found funny. It's like, up and at them. Like, better.
But like, it's just like, okay, Arnold Schwarzenegger probably would have been cast. Like, this is before Batman and Robin.
Yeah.
So it's kind of funny that like he did end up being a villain in a Batman movie. But like, he probably would have been cast as something like this at the time. You could easily see him.
Easily.
Like Turbo Man again is not too far down the
pipe. Turbo Man.
Yeah.
Jamie. Ta-ta. Turtle Man.
He knows my name.
Then the scene where the voice, speaking of voices, the voice on the guy was like, thanks to modern editing, we can we can continue the movie or whatever it was he says, and then like it's the most like just ramshackle.
Yes. And then I was like, what are they filming here? Like, how are
any scene where he's going, yes.
Like, there's a scene where it's like Mad Max is one of the scenes, kind of like. Then they're in space. Then it's like him sitting on a couch. Like, I'm like, what movie are they making? It's great. Like,
thanks to modern editing techniques, we can use existing footage to complete the film without Milhouse. Watch.
Looks like we're in trouble for that boy.
Jiminy Jilliker's radioactive man.
We'll have to fight our way out. Are you ready?
Yes.
Seamless, huh?
You're fired.
And with good cause.
And I love how, like, your man doesn't even move. You're fired.
Seamless, huh? Is that... And he's like, hey, we're good cars. When
he doesn't even care.
What's this guy's deal? I say that all the time. When it's when something, I'm like, we're good cars.
I love it. I do have a note as well that I love the sky when Bart and Milhouse are talking in the treehouse. It's kind of like a purpley orange or something like that.
Yeah.
And then, by the way, if I may say, Mickey Rooney is so good in this. I like just when he's talking about, like, he just loves the film industry and he can play anything. He's like, do it for all that, whatever. And then
I love this because it's like,
go on.
It's hitting home to me, especially. He's like, well, look, if you can't do it for yourself, then for the movie going public and the foreign markets that are more important than ever.
Like, he would ever care.
And finally, for me, like, the Mixster.
No.
He's just like, hands folded, like, no. Little punk,
like,
kid.
Someone, like, why would Mickey Rooney think that would work? Yeah. Like, someone, an old actor, who, like, he would never have heard of, like, do it for me. The Mixster.
He leads in and, like, he's like putting so much effect on it. But even when he's like, and the top box office draw in
1939 from 1939
to 1940, like, spanning two decades.
I love it.
He's so good.
But
the director, like, we're shutting down production. It's like, well, we only got $1,000 left anyway.
$1,000 leaving town tax.
And then you get Rooney again. It's like,
man, I hope you're all satisfied. You've bankrupted a bunch of naive movie folks. Folks from a Hollywood where values are different. They weren't thinking about the money. They just wanted to tell a story about a Radioactive Man, and you slick small-towners took them for all they were worth.
Do we give them some of their money back?
No.
Hurry, Mr. Rooney. We've got a disenchanted little girl in a Jell-O pudding commercial.
I could play that.
And you slick small-towners took them for all the money they were worth.
I love it.
Hurry, Mr. Rooney. We've got a disenchanted little girl in a Jell-O pudding commercial.
I could play that.
Yeah, I love that that's what his thing is. Like,
you get his real motivation. Yeah. Like, yeah. I could play that.
And I love, absolutely love the ending where it's one of my favorite endings ever.
Ooh.
Where they go back to Hollywood. It's like, thank God we're back in Hollywood.
The voice.
Where people treat each other right. They're always like, take what you need from my boutique, sell your back on your feet. And then it's like, lean on me. When you're, I don't know what it is. My, probably it's my so two heartfelt. Favorite endings are like that one and The Summer Wind. And it's just something to do with like a classic
a song.
Like, song that they,
and I noticed there's a, like a man like spinning a woman, yeah, like dancing.
That's
like,
the thing. It makes it look as if Hollywood.
Everyone's
is,
waving.
Yeah,
like.
It's like, oh, nothing here would ever chew you up and spit you out. We all look out for each other. Like,
I love it.
It's so good. Yeah. Just the idea, coming up with that idea, it's like, how about when they go back,
yeah,
like the real bad people are
the Springfield, yeah,
yeah. You know?
That's so, just top
so
notch, right?
Anything else you have in your notes?
That's all I've got, to be honest. I you know what, we didn't actually discuss
the most famous scene, the goggles do nothing.
Yeah, actually, yeah, like, I love that. Now that's real acid. He says these like really dangerous things so quick. It's like, okay, X-ray on full power, and he's like, okay, that's real acid. So we need goggles, people.
Goggles. And like the fact that he's like this is the hardest, most expensive shot in the movie, and we only get one shot at, so we have to do it right. The fact that you're putting the child actor, you're so dependent on the child actor,
and no one would check where he is.
Where's the stunt double? Like, you know,
like no one can see him, but like action.
Yeah, and action.
It's still actually funny. I know it's kind of been overused. The goggles do nothing, but like the way he says it is, he's sort of like panicked. Like, the goggles do nothing,
and then like him getting stuck in the trailer and like his clothes, his clothes going up,
his pants, like
his legs wiggling, like.
Like so that's a touch good. That you didn't need to do, but it's so it's good.
Like that shows you like how good they can be.
It's like jokes on jokes. Like.
Yeah, it's just and it's a little. Everything matters or nothing matters. Like, you know what I mean. If you don't, if you're not willing to put that extra effort in,
I like that. I like that phrase.
Yeah, everything because like matters or nothing sometimes matters. You're like, oh yeah, they just don't seem arsed. Whereas in this, when they seem motivated or something, they're never better. Like you say,
there's like a joke everywhere you look. Like you can
that's
look
it. Like it's like it's like a comic book. You know, doing a comic, but like. Everything in the background and everything always...
Yeah, if you look for it, there's something there.
Yeah, 100%.
Always. You know, we never... Normally, we've been saying what we thought beforehand, but we didn't do that this time.
Oh, yeah.
Will we
just get into our...
Let's get into good old-fashioned ratings.
Look, our ratings are down, and the station is being swamped with angry calls and letter bombs.
Now, let me ask you something. I can't see it. I almost had it.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Let me ask you something. What did you think of this episode?
I didn't like it. I loved it. It was great. I was like, considering how lukewarm I felt on the first episode of the season, really got me back in with a bang.
Big time.
Like, it was just so good.
Yeah.
And like, I just had a load of laughs, had a coherent story that like...
It's a good story.
Like, the story...
Felt big as well. Like.
It did feel big, which is always a plus if they don't go too big.
Yeah, you know, space.
It felt big enough, exactly. It felt big enough that it was like, okay,
within
this...
Within reality.
This big thing is coming to Springfield, and with it is kind of feasible that, you know, it happens all the time in America that, you know, these... productions will come to a town and generate a load of business or whatever for the town.
So
in that way I thought it was very well done. I just loved all the little bits. I find it hard to be objective just the two like they're two of my favorites.
The execs,
like the director and the producer, like, yeah, just two of the best characters. Like, they're so good.
I know, it's perfect.
Yeah,
I was straight away. I was already laughing from the voice. I was like, oh, I love these guys. Yeah, I forgot how much I love these guys.
Like, that's the thing. You're like, but if they're ever in another episode again, it's like if Scorpio showed up in another episode, you'd be like,
yeah,
oh. Yeah. No, don't do it. Like, you know, that's the thing. Like,
it's like a one time. It worked perfectly for what it was used for.
Like, every time you go back to it, it gets better almost. It brings a bigger smile to my face.
Yeah,
almost.
Exactly.
Like,
yeah.
I thought, look, big jokes, true line story. I like how they wrapped it. Like, they just, like, because that was kind of what happened if it was like, okay, look, we're shutting down production.
Yeah.
That's the end of the story. Milhouse gets what he wants.
Yeah.
You know, and Bart, you know, as a kid, you probably would be like, oh, on to the next thing. You know, I'm kind of...
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, just really, really good.
Can I ask who your MVP would be?
Now, this is a tough one because, quite frankly...
I knew mine as soon as it ended.
Yours is Mickey Rooney?
Oh, we'll save it. Yeah.
I can't give it to Rooney, although I loved him. I got to give it to my man, the unnamed producer guy.
He doesn't even have a name.
Yeah. He's known as...
It's the first.
Producer. Like, yeah. But you know what is great? Like, his voice is great, but also, like...
How he looks, like...
His looks, his gags are great as well. Like, you know, like... Like, it's very rare, I think, that you find that it's, like, a one-off character that doesn't have a name, but yet, like, pretty much everything he's saying, I'm loving. Like, you know, like, because he's playing it so straight.
Kind of like
thing.
Shelby's dad in...
Yeah!
You know what I mean? Like, every line is killer, but you don't actually know who he is.
Yeah, like, Shelby's dad is kind of the other side of the coin that in that they're... Yes, everything is they're saying is killer. You don't know who they are, whatever. But he's playing it super big. He is a super big character.
Yeah.
Whereas this guy is 100% straight.
Yeah.
Like, you know, he's just being himself. Like, like, he's baffled by all these people or everything that's going on.
He seems
on.
Actually normal. Like,
yeah,
in
he's
the world.
Like, what the fuck's going on here? Like, with all these people. But everything that he's saying, or like the director was a close second, that like just the way he was speaking.
Okay.
The two of those guys, but I'll give it to the producer, red haired producer guy.
Oh, yeah.
With that voice.
And what would your rating be?
My rating is going to be an 8.8. Very, very good.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I pretty much agree with everything you said. I also loved it. I was pleasantly, it was one of the few ones that held up, one of the big ones, you know what I mean? Where you think, oh, that's a great one. Like, it actually was a great one. I'll tell you now, my MVP is The Mixer.
Of course.
And I was like, it's very rare that someone can swoop in the last like
two minutes.
Yeah, and like just like, but I just thought he was so good. His little monologue at the end where he's like, you silly,
like,
you slicker,
small
whatever.
Towners.
Yeah, and just
great writing.
And just The Mixer.
Like, and the foreign markets that all's more important now than ever.
Like a 10-year-old boy would give a shit if it's a foreign market.
what makes that as well is just the reaction. Like, Milhouse in his full get up, he's in his full radioactive or Fallout Boy get up. And like, no.
I would give it a rating, Terry. Now this may be a first. 8.8.
Oh!
A matching rating.
Whoa.
I did give the last episode an 8.8 as well.
Did you? Do you think? Now, let me ask you. Do you think it's better than Who Shot Mr. Brown?
I do.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's what I gave it. So I can't change it from last time. But I think 8.... I was very generous with Who Shot Mr. Burns last week.
I think so. Like, I gave it an
8.4.
I think that was generous as well.
I think I, a lot of the time, base it off what you give. You know what I mean? Like, if I'm ordering a Chinese, Kerry will say what you want. And I'm like, you tell me what you want. I got to base it off what you're having. I'm not going to go get for the works.
I'm the opposite.
Really?
I'm like,
full steam ahead.
This is what I want, and
get whatever you want.
When it comes to Chinese, I'm very particular.
What do you get?
Chicken fried rice. If we're going for the two, right? If we're going for the two of us, it'd be chicken fried rice, chips, curry sauce.
Nice.
That'll be the split between the two of us.
No mess.
If I'm doing my own thing, well, geez, it could be a little from column A. It could be maybe a spice bag, or curry sauce. Maybe a thing of rice, you know. Probably too much, but just enough that I could go back for seconds or the next day, you know.
Nice. See, I have a problem. I would finish whatever is on the plate. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I always, and I have a can of Coke with it.
Fufa?
Oh no. Zero, of course.
For a second there, Andy.
But I'm always, after I have a Chinese, I'm always shifting around in my chair. I'm too burping much. Loads. You know. But I never regret it.
Yeah. If I can find, like, we got a Thai, I think it was Friday last, and I got, I didn't order a meal. I got chicken wings, and then I got a kid's portion of, like, crispy chicken, and that came with
shredded
a bit of
chicken.
Rice. Yeah, and a bit of rice. Mm-mm. And then I got myself, what else did
starving.
I
starving.
I think I got myself some like fried potatoes as well. But then I made my own little meal. I like to do that in Chinese as well. Like,
okay.
Do a little mix and matchy. Welcome to Chinatown. Chinese podcast with me and Andy.
We've just been talking about our Chinese orders for the last 2 minutes. But yeah, that's kind of it, to be
honest. What do we got next time? I'll tell you what we got, Andy. It's season 7, episode 3. Home sweet home diddly dum doodly.
Oh,
I'm not sure I pronounced that properly. It's Which when the kids get head lice and they have to go live with the Flanders. A little LSD is all I'm All right, very good.
Brilliant.
Another couple of great like one-off characters there. Stupid babies need the most attention.
Is that the guy? Put your garbage in a garbage can, people.
I cannot stress that enough. Great. Except for you, Marge. You tested positive for crack and PCP.
Listen.
Yeah. We got our plugs in, Andy.
Please.
Where can the good people find us?
You can find us at Twitter and Instagram at PutItInHPodcast. All the links to all of our stuff, latest episodes, other podcasts, merchandise is all on our Instagram bio. You can email us, putitinhpod@gmail.com. You can share, if you listen to the podcast, share it on your social media.
You know, tell a friend.
Tell a friend.
If each one of our listeners tells a friend, 50,000 people. 49,000.
Whoa.
Yeah.
We could be sitting on millions here.
Hey, come on.
You inconsiderate. I have to stop berating the listeners at the end of each episode.
Stop negging our listeners, Andy. Does not seem to be working.
All right. Tell them where else they can find us. Speaking of.
You know what? If you like what you're hearing, these two sultry, the deucelet tones of... me and Andy, you can hop on over to patreon.com/putitinh, where we are producing top quality ramblings for a low fee of $5 a month. It'll get you 2 episodes of our sister podcast, What's So Great About, where
a month.
Yes. Where we are doing, at the moment, our miniseries on the Marvel Cinematic Universe. We're just entering phase 3.
Yeah.
When I'm trying to tell Andy what's so great about all these wonderful movies. We've had some successes. We've hit a couple of bumps in the road. The last...
Ultron and... Well, I'm not even going to spoil it. Yeah. But
Ultron and Ant-Man were...
They let me down after Guardians of the Galaxy propped me right up.
Anyway, and also we do, every other week, we do a bonus episode. We've got ones on the Royal Rumble. We've got ones on The Last Dance. Andy, we've been doing our musical playlist ones where...
We give each other sort of a playlist of...
6 songs or so.
Of like metal, emo, movie songs. Our drugs episode is actually our most popular Patreon episode.
I forgot about we did the drugs episode. Yeah,
episode of our exploits and all that sort of thing.
Down the pike on this one, we might...
Is that the expression? Down the pike?
Pipe? Pike? Turnpike?
Oh, you might be right.
Yeah.
I thought I nailed you there, to be honest, but you may be right on pike. Listen, hold my hands up.
Yeah, you will.
Where else can they find
Well, we might have an episode on the phenomenon that is known as Hamilton.
Yeah, I haven't even heard about this, but we're doing it next week. But yeah. I haven't even heard
of
it.
You better get watching, buddy. It's going to take you 7 nights to watch the whole thing.
Christ. Yeah. It was a suggestion by one of our patrons, but apparently it's deadly. So,
We'll find out together. I haven't seen it either, so, you know.
Plus, in a couple of weeks, another suggestion by one of our patrons was our dream movie casting.
This got me really excited.
I'd say so.
Where
so
are we?
It can either be a sequel to a movie that already exists, or it can be our own movie. But it's who's starring in it? Are they doing?
I can't give you any of my original movie ideas. They're already in my notepad. That, like, look, if anybody heard about these story ideas,
I can't give them away. Yeah,
absolutely, that's my ticket out of here.
Well, you better come up with something good.
I got a couple of sequel plans. Don't worry. Yeah.
Good.
But none of my original stuff is going on the air. Let me tell you right now.
Just nip that in the bud right now.
Right there. Sorry, Niamh. and then you know what, if you can't afford the fiver a month,
if I may, we've also got a new stuff for the old patrons at home, a little
should I be drinking out of this?
We have like badges. Well, we got new Put It in H member badges, actual badges.
You can clip them to your jackets.
You can clip them to your jackets. Yeah. So, we'll be sending those out to the lovely patrons free of charge.
You pay your fiver, you get a badge.
Yeah, exactly. Technically, it's not free, but you know.
Yeah.
As it's a thank you
subscription.
But this is just a prime example of how we treat our new best friends.
Yeah, Andy, you might notice I'm wearing a t-shirt.
Oh yeah, what does it say, Terry? It looks like fine material.
It says, Put It in H, a diehard Simpsons podcast. And I tell you, it breathes beautifully. It's super comfortable. You can find out where you can purchase them on our Instagram.
Mm-hmm, it's all there.
Yeah. I won't get Andy to read the laborious website name because
no need to anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
It's right there.
Yeah, it's on the Instagram.
Look, and it's 15 quid and free shipping. Yeah. We're losing money.
If you can't afford the fiver, do me a favor. Do me a personal favor.
Jump off a bridge.
Because I don't want you listening to
you
this
can't
podcast.
Afford a fiver. I don't want no cheapskates listening to this podcast.
You can't afford a fiver. Do me a favor. Give me a 5-star review, you know? Give me a 5-star.
Give me a fiver, personally.
My address is, I want to post a check.
Yeah.
No, 5-star review goes a super long way on your Apple Podcast, whatever your podcatcher of choice. Really, really helps us climb the charts, gets it out there that, you know, Put It in H is still number one Ireland Simpsons podcast. That's right, whoever is listening out there.
That's right, that other one.
Yeah.
be fair, it actually seems like a good pod and a nice guy. But,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But we're number one.
We were here first.
Yeah. It's our island.
You can like us or you can switch to another Irish Simpsons podcast.
Ixnay on the...
Don't switch to another Irish Simpsons podcast.
But give us a 5-star review or a rating, whatever. You know, just it takes 2 minutes, guys. If you haven't done it already, you got some nerve.
Yeah. Anyway.
On that note.
I feel like we've
we've
done enough of our shilling.
Threatening.
Lambasting the listener.
But
on a serious note, folks.
Thank you so much for listening. Hope yous are all staying safe out there. And
some of you.
Hope all yous are. Personally, I do.
Yeah. Personally, I could take or leave a few of you. Not you, listener. Not you, the other one. Goodbye.
Sometimes in our lives, we all have pain, we all have sorrow. Borrow all need somebody to lean on. I just might have a problem that you'll understand. We all need somebody to lean on. Lean on me when you're not strong, and I'll be your friend. I'll help you carry on, for it won't be long till I'm gonna need somebody to lean on. You just call brother when you need a hand. We all need somebody to lean on. I just might have a problem that you'll understand. We all need somebody to lean on. If there is a load you have to
have your mic then, is that
I can move in, you see
there,
is this 6 feet between us, probably.
I think we're fine. Yeah.
I don't have it, but you know, how does that look there?
How about you sit on it, huh? How's that sound?
I'm never gonna sit on Minetti, okay?
That's not what I heard.
No!
I'm just going to start it. Let me get my, don't have a fancy drink today.
You know what? I decided it's not going to be beers when we're in studio. I couldn't do that to you, all right? Nice. And it was a celebratory thing last time, but this time we're all business, you know.
We're always business, Terry.
See, let me just...
Oh, yeah, I should probably... should I just get the script? Is that?
I've got it on my phone.
Okay.
So I can guide us, I guess.
Yes. Tell you what, let's try something. Do you guide us with the script, and not necessarily the script, but just like the story?
Yeah.
And
you're gonna throw in your notes.
I just have some notes.
Okay.
Let me see if I can remember what I'm talking.
I got a note for you. Be funnier.
Okay.
I was listening to a podcast on Lord of the Rings, these two female comedians that, like, they've never watched it before.
Comedians.
Yeah, well, comedians, you know, where it's 21st century, Andy.
Actresses.
2020. Actors. It's your one, actually. You ever watch Nailed It?
No.
Ever watch Nailed It on Netflix?
Good.
It's like a baking show for people who can't bake. Yeah, it's great. Like, they're all
shows.
Terrible. They're all, like, the people who are doing it are all terrible.
Oh, I like
it. It's fun. It's really fun.
I like baking shows. Now.
But but they were talking about Jake Gyllenhaal auditioning for the role of Frodo, and nobody told him he had to do it in an English accent. And then it was like his agent told him that it was one of the worst auditions that Peter Jackson have ever seen. He's like, why would you give him that note? Like, fire your agent or your manager or whatever this is. You don't need that note. Like.
In fact, it's one of the worst performances. It's like in Extras Ricky Gervais's agent, Darren Lamb,
yeah.
Steve Merchant, and he's like, "And how much are you willing to pay him?" Like, you have more money than sense, mate. No, I am his agent. Yeah.
I'm not thinking about whether I should start watching that show again.
Even Steve Merchant alone,
he was a real breakout from that, wasn't he?
He won like a British Comedy Award for it, I think.
It's an oxymoron in itself. Comedy Award, huh? All right, can we get into this?
Yes. Sure, I can. Yeah, we should riff for a bit. I don't know what I'm going to talk about. Okay, let's just.
I got some stuff.
Okay, great.
Okay. Hello, and welcome to Put It in H, a Die Hard Simpsons podcast. My name is Terry.